I was with my mother-in-law, and when I was first married, my wife said, we have to do something. We have to go to breakfast with my mother-in-law and her friends. Such is the compromise of marriage. And I went to a diner and got to meet her mother's friends. And my mother-in-law worked faithfully for a small company that grew. And she made quite a strong friendship with the women who worked there and helped build that company. She was divorced, and so she found comfort in that company, and it was important to my mother-in-law that she were able to introduce her husband, her daughter's new husband, to their group. So I went. Somebody said something. This one gentleman that was in that company said something that stuck in my mind. He was talking. He said, "You know what?" He was a truck driver, a hefty fella, and he said, "You know what? I'm so poor, I can't pay attention." First time I ever heard that phrase. And I wanted to have a good laugh, but I was sitting next to my mother-in-law, and I didn't want to embarrass her. But I liked that phrase. I'm so poor, I can't pay attention. I don't want to be that poor. I want to pay attention. And I thought of how important, when you go through the gospel, you see how important it is that we're good listeners. And I don't mean just to the pastor or preaching, but I mean good listeners in the kingdom, to have an ear to hear. How many times did Jesus say, let those who have ears to hear, right? Yes. Think about that. When you've got to pay attention and say, there's something to listening. What do we know? What does it say in Romans? Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
But I've found growing up in church how dull a hearing we can be and miss what God has for us. Whether it's a warning or a rebuke or a question or a correction, I found myself missing that so much. I wrote down, I have here a few things, factors of why we don't always list apathy. You know, you just don't have it. You're just out of it, right? Busyness. That's a big factor today, isn't it? We're very busy. Here's another one. Just indifference to the topic. If the pastor or if the speaker or if the devotional doesn't have a NASCAR in it, you're not interested, right? But if they associate it with, you know, Andro Andretti or whatever it is. I messed his name up. But, if it doesn't have some sports, you're not interested, right? We have to be careful of that. A disregard of the source, whether it's a person or a media or whatever, you just don't pay attention much to that. That's another one. Fearful circumstances. When we sometimes are fearful, when we need to hear the Lord's voice the most, we don't always listen. I like to tell a story about, and some of them from the chapel have heard this, my father had a Ford Falcon. That's some car. I wish he had it now. It's a classic. Small little car. My whole family would be shoved into that car, and there were six of us. And no seat belts. You just crammed in as much as you could. It started smoking, so my father pulled the car over. When he lifted the hood, in those days they had carburetors and an air filter on top. He took off the air filter and fire was coming out of the carburetor. And so my brother grabbed my little sister, started running down the road. I stood around with like a deer in headlights, like, fire. No. And my father was looking, and he said to my mother, get my shirt. She was so afraid, she thought he said, get dirt. And she dumped a whole handful of dirt down the carburetor. The fire went out, and my father's lights went out, because that was the end of the car. We get nervous in a time when we need to hear Jesus the most. All of our emotions betray us, and we don't hear him. right? These are some things, whether it's apathy, whether it's busyness, indifference. I like this. It's by Nadia Bollinger. She was an author. She, listen to this. Good, just a good quote. Life is denied by lack of attention. Isn't that true? Life is denied by lack of attention. How often do we let the insignificant blind us from the significant? I often think, I live in a house that's across from a beautiful lake, not as big as this. Well, it's an overstatement to call that lake beautiful. It was beautiful at one time, but still beautiful at times. And when I first moved in and looked out my living room window, I said, wow, awesome, I get to live here. And I used to chase my kids around because it was a very wooded property, and it was beautiful. What happens, though, in a year's time? What? You know, you don't even see the lake. You don't see the trees. You miss it all. And that's what happens to us when we get too familiar. We start letting the insignificant blind us from significant things. You know what I started seeing? I got to paint that, and I got to fix that up, and I got this to do, and I have that to do, and I'm pulling in and out of the driveway, and suddenly all of the beauty that amazed me, I was missing. Until someone comes over and goes, what a beautiful property, mm-hmm. Beautiful lake, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. We miss it, don't we? Jesus in the gospel was always trying to give us a different point of view. He was always trying to pull us away from the insignificant to notice the significant. And you'll find that in every story in the gospel, Jesus is trying to get people to see something that only is obvious to heaven. Let me give you a few examples. Remember when he fed the 5,000? What happened there? They wanted to make him king, but he slips through the crowd, and he gets in a boat, and he crosses over the sea, but they follow him. Listen to what Jesus said in John 6. And in verse 26, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Then he said this to them, do not labor for the food which perishes. Now, their whole intent was, hey, this is the real world. We need food. You know, that's significant, right? Jesus, in Jesus' view, that wasn't significant. In Jesus' view, that was insignificant, the bread, the food. He goes on, he says, but do not labor for the food which perisheth, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. What a message. Jesus said this, I have a different point of view than you. You think reality, you think what's significant, what's important, is what you need to put on your plate and down your stomach. And Jesus said, there's something more significant, and you're missing it. You're not seeing it. You're not paying attention to what God is trying to get through to you. Let me give you another one. How about this? A rich young ruler, and you all know that story, he did have some good ideas. He comes running after Jesus, falls down, worships him, and kneels at his feet. Jesus says this to him. So when in Luke 18, so when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. Always look at that. The rich young ruler didn't like that so much. In fact, he walked away and was disheartened. But Jesus gave him the greatest invitation ever. Come follow me. He didn't see it. He couldn't give up the natural for the spiritual. I'll give you one more. Jesus tells a story, and you all know the story. It's about a man who is prospering, and he's prospering so well that he's got to build barns. So he builds the barns and he loads them up, and then what happens? He dies, right? Kicks the bucket. It's like a lot of people who work their whole lives and retire. What a negative thought that was. But, you know, think about it a little bit. I mean, every time I read that story of Jesus, it's like, oh my goodness. Well, that's what happened to this guy. He got everything, then he retired. An angel says, well, okay, now your soul's acquired of you. Who are you going to leave those things to? Let me read what Jesus says. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So these three things I'm bringing out show us that we can easily give up the significant for the insignificant. We do it every day. We do it in every meeting we're in. What do you focus on when you're in a meeting? Most of the time, when's it going to end? Right? And unfortunately, sometimes it's like, well, I hope something interesting happens in this meeting. Somebody falls off their chair or, you know, something interesting would be. We're more caught up in the significant. Like, for instance, my days in church would be like, well, I hope at least somebody testifies, particularly that guy over there. Because his testimonies are weird. And it's entertaining. And we had a few of those at camp. We did. And I remember one fellow, I won't mention his name, but I was like, as a staff member, I was like, I'm so glad he's here. It's going to be good. And then sure enough, his name was Tim, and he would get up. And I got to share this. I have to share this. But he got up and he said, well, I was out on the lake with the Word of God. I was sitting in the back of the canoe. The Word was in the front of the canoe. And he said, we rowed out to the island when a storm came. And I had to say, Father, I only have one life preserver. And he was quite serious. He wasn't being a joker. He would give these testimonies serious. And Brother Gardner would just be like, you could tell he was like looking for discernment. I don't know if any of you were there. Tom, I think was, and he said, and he got by the island, and he said, you know, when the winds blow here, a canoe is useless. You just can't go anywhere. So he's standing there, and he says, I had to say, Father, I'm sorry, I have to bail. And he left the Word in the canoe and got on the island. And you know, the whole, I would sit in meetings and say, this is awesome. this is really, we had a lot of strange things like that at camp. Speaking of. But you know, we can miss sometimes. Sometimes, honestly, listen, we'll miss heaven for a little bit of entertainment.
That's right.
You know? We will. We'll Brother Gardner taught us, because we had a minister one time. My goodness, this woman was boring. I'm telling you, she was boring. This is how she spoke. Ready? And I'm not going to say who it is, but it would be like, and God moved in my life, and then we went down to there, and the Lord spoke to me, and then he spoke, and then I moved, and then we moved, and then went together, and then we went. I sat there saying, what under the sun is this? I was like, don't laugh. Some of you, that's how you look. Don't laugh. Don't, you know what? Sometimes I'd like to get a big video camera and then get a screen, have it face the audience when a pastor's speaking. You'd all be like. You know it's so. But of course it would be done in love. But how often do we look for that, right? We look for that. And Brother Gardner said, listen to her. she's speaking by the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, yeah, right. And I'm just being honest. Like, oh, I don't. Next time she came, you know, I'm not a total fool. I listened to my teachers, and I listened, and my heart was changed. I would have passed it up. God, you didn't put enough sugar on that talk. I would have passed it up. God, thank you that Brother Garnett gave us that teaching, because I listened with my heart, and what she was saying was the voice of the Holy Spirit. So folks, don't miss the significant, because you're looking for the insignificant because it's so sugar-coated. We have to be careful of that. Well, let me wrap this up. Jesus said to his generation, what is it going to take to get your attention? He said that. He realized that people have difficulty hearing the significant because we're surrounded daily in our daily life with insignificant things that are going to perish. We'll cling to them with our last breath before we hear from heaven. And that scared Jesus. Listen to what he said. He says this in Matthew 11. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he is a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. Jesus was so frustrated. He said, what do I have to do to get your attention? John tried one way. I tried another way. He said, what is it? How is heaven going to get a hold of you? I wonder how frustrated he is with us today. Are we listening? I'll conclude with this. I thought of the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. Who was that? Oh, in the Old Testament. Elijah, right? In Elijah. Do you know that Elijah, when you read his stories, are pretty amazing? I mean, you know, if you want to get excited, they should make all kinds of cartoons. You know, the world picked up on that. I mean, this is awesome, this guy. Well, after the whole event on Mount Carmel, and he just proves the mightiness of God, you know what happens? Tell me. What happens to Elijah? Huh? He runs away, right, from a woman. The way you put that. You know? I am woman, hear me roar. Right? He runs away from Jezebel. And he's scared and he's depressed. And Elijah, the greatest prophet. So don't let the enemy condemn you when maybe you don't aren't clear at all. Because this great prophet of God runs away. But I like the way God deals with him. And you know the rhetoric he gave God. What's the sense? What's the sense of it all? Have you ever found yourself saying that? Right? What's the sense of it? Elijah said that. And God was trying to get a hold of him. And I'm not going to go through the whole story of how God tried to, what God did. Some practical things. Fed him, gave him rest. But the greatest of all, which I find in 1 Kings 19, was that God had to help Elijah. He had to give him a refresher course in listening. As much as he heard from God and said, you know what you do? Build an altar. What you know what you do? Soak it with water. You know what you do? Set it on fire. He could hear all that. When it came to himself, he couldn't hear a thing. That's how it is with us. Aren't we good at getting light for other people? You know, we know what they... I know what... Sean, I know what you need. Come see me later. It's a long list. Right? We're good that way. We're good that way. But sometimes when it comes to hearing for ourselves, we're not so good. So Elijah, God, listen, well, let me, you know. God says to him, Elijah, you go stand on that mountain. And Elijah's standing there. And the Lord passed by. And there was this great, tremendous wind, right? And it rips the mountain apart. If you've ever seen strong wind, it's frightening. It's mighty, it's powerful, you know. We had that, of course, Sandy, tremendous, the devastation of it. But God wasn't in the wind. And then what comes along? An earthquake, and the rocks are rent and cracked, and the power of the earth just being rocked. But it says God wasn't in that. Then what comes along is a tremendous fire. Well, surely that got his attention. No. I love the way it ends. Then what happened? Well, I don't. Why don't I read it to you? But the Lord was not in the fire. And after a fire, what?
Voice.
Yeah. A still small voice. God, I love this story because what God had to do for this powerful, mighty prophet of God was to shake him enough to say, you're looking for a bullhorn, you're looking for an explosion, you're looking for some mighty trumpet, and I whisper. In that still small voice, God spoke to Elijah, and the storm was still. My point is this, how good are we at listening? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, right?
Yes.
My sheep know my voice. It behooves us then that in every meeting, now we need to hear the Lord. We need to hear the Lord all the time, outside the meeting. But you know, God's designed meetings for us to say, speak, Lord, speak, speak, speak to me, speak. Oh yeah, but he's not funny. Or you know, he doesn't tell good stories. Or you know, he talks for 2.5 hours. He shouldn't speak for 2.5 hours. But you know, we have our preferences. We have our preferences. Maybe you're looking for an earthquake in the meeting. Maybe you're looking for some fire in the meeting. Maybe you're looking for some wind to blow through. And God's going to whisper, and you're going to miss it. And the saddest part is that you're going to miss something that's going to be, that God is trying to make for your peace. Like what he said to Jerusalem. Maybe it'll be at home. Maybe it'll, when you meet that unfortunate relationship. God is speaking now for then. And we miss it. So I just wanted to leave us with this. May God anoint our ears to hear. And while the staff, or while you're here, listen. Listen with all your heart. And I know you get weary and tired. And I know you may nod off. Keep one eye and one ear open. At least. If you can. All right? You know what I do? Practical help. You know what I do if I find myself nodding off? If you do find yourself, if you're in a meeting, you're tired, you've been working all day, you've been up goofing all night, and now you have to get up in the morning for, I mean, you've been praying all night. You know what I do? You know? If I'm in a meeting, and I just say, I try to get a scripture. Not he giveth his beloved sleep. There's a time for that. But sometimes what I'll do is I'll put myself in a position and use some practical methods of like pinching myself on my thigh and say, Keith, you got to listen. And I'll ask the Holy Spirit, help me. Because sometimes when you're tired, you're tired.
Yeah.
And sometimes the pastor's going too long. You know? Watch out for pastors who say they're on their third ending. let's conclude. Just let's ask God to anoint our ears. Because I'm looking at whether you're a guest or whether you're staff. I know God wants to speak to you. I know he wants to communicate to us. He wants to give us a keener ear for the shepherd. Because out there, when you go home, in the business, in the school, in the neighborhood, in the family, you're going to get so much. You know, you're going to have these spiritual earbuds in that are going to be speaking anything but what God wants to hear. We need his help. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, God. Anoint our ears.
Yes, Lord.
Save us from being dull of hearing. God, we have to be honest with you. And I want to ask you to help Keith Schneider first. I'll run after the insignificant. It tastes so good. It sounds so good. It's so attractive. God, we're no different than those you spoke of in the gospel in some ways. And we want you to shepherd us. Anoint our ears that we'll hear. We know that you're speaking these things that, God, that we might believe and that we might be kept. And so this morning, we just all pray. Help us to hear you today. Keep us. We know you're speaking to keep us from evil. Keep our feet going in the right direction. And so we pray, Lord, that we'll have ears to hear your wisdom for relationships. We'll be able to hear your wisdom for direction and for the future. We ask you and believe you to do this. Thank you for your word. You have sown your word, and now our faith is that you're going to help us to hear and to know. And we thank you, Father. Bless us this day. Keep your hand on us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.